my God, that's an exclusive. I pressed start recording instead of start streaming. What an idiot. Oh, me and Paul were having a lovely, lovely chat there around catching up. What the hell is happening? I can tell you what's happening, mate. I'll show you on camera, but I'll not announce it. This is what's happening. I'm having a lovely peacock of a time. It's a Friday night into Saturday morning here in lovely sunny central Australia, 1:36 a.m. and it's what, like half four, 5 o'clock in. Hi, Paul. We do have a couple of things to catch up on. So we discussed it prior to going live and the re-recording. I did my last podcast, pod show, whatever you want to call it, solo. So I didn't really get any opinions from. Yeah, overall, I'd say it was a solid performance. I can't really say this season we've had a bad performance. We've had one bad result in Brentford, in Burnley, but other than that, I think we've pretty much performed. Even in that game, we performed pretty well. It was just not about not taking our chances. I think we performed ex like just exemplary. Like this is what you'd expect from Premier League players, right? Yeah. Let's go. So, tell me the little bit of the flow around the Brentford game from your recollection. Yeah. Oh yeah, I forgot about that. He didn't really, did he play? Well, that's interesting. I completely forgot. I knew he was obviously at Brentford, but I can't remember him being on the pitch at any point. Maybe that's because well, all of the action did take place after he was off the pitch. I think he came on and he went off like maybe 65th, 67th minute, something like that. Is that right? Yeah, cool. Because if my memory serves, essentially Sunderland and Brentford were pretty much neck and neck throughout that entire game. However, it came to that one just burying your chances kind of moment from Brentford. Solid goal. Can't really complain from any of the Sunderland players. That was just going in the back of the net. Maybe you can hyper analyze it if you want to, from a Premier League perspective. But I think ultimately what it boils down to is the fight back. And that's the kind of mentality we want to see from Sunderland for the entirety of this season. Even if we go behind against established Premier League teams, we want to see how we get back into those games. So against Brentford, what was who scored the leveller? It's like 3 weeks ago now. My mind is going blank, and for multiple reasons. Fair enough. Did we have a penalty in that one? Did Robin Roof save a penalty? Oh my God, it's been like 4 weeks, and my head is just like, what even occurred? Bong, how we doing, mate? Your mic sounds better, thank you. But we can't hear Paul. See, this is where it all comes into it. Let's go for that. I need to work out which one you need to be in. Headphones? Is that right? Try that. Paul?
Should be able to hear us.
There we go. Yeah, I can see the mic moving up a bit from that one as well. Thank you, Bong. Audio quality confirmed. So everything I've been saying, I just sound like I'm talking to the man inside my head. Welcome along, Paul Wilson.
I'm alive.
I'm alive. Fucking hell. I don't know what's wrong with me sometimes, you know, mate. Like, it's just. That's it. There you go. I just need to, like, have a little bit of pre-testing before we go live to make sure everything's running smoothly. And whatever. Yeah. Tech. We're here to have some fun. So, yes. You got the Brentford game up now? Yep.
Yep.
Brentford goal, open play, exactly what you expected. Is that the game that Robin Roof's score saved the penalty?
Yeah, I think it was because we got a penalty as well.
Yeah,
Because
and
Enzo the first called the penalty for us.
that was it. Wait, what? I'm confused. There's a rumor mill I've just got from Alan, Mr. Westray, saying the game is off tomorrow. What's that about?
It could be because of the weather warning that's around.
It's canny
But
windy, like probably's worse down there. So is there too much wind in Manchester? Is that what's happening?
it could be because of the weather warning, but I haven't heard no nothing about the game being off.
Interesting. That's really weird.
Well, the thing
I
is, the
don't.
referee. I don't think they would have, though, because well, the referee is the one that makes the decision if the game's on and off.
Yeah. Okay. We'll keep an eye on it. Thank you, Bong. I was at the Brentford game and Roof saved the penalty. Boom. I did remember the right game. I just wasn't confident in it. Cheers, mate. So yeah, I think Robin Roof's well, I'll talk about him overall rather than the individual games because yeah, like I just think he's going to be our player of the season, you know. I know it's very early doors to make that claim and make that statement. However, when we as a club have had a fantastic Premier League season, a goalkeeper's been at the back of it. Can you recall the times of Pantilimon, Mignolet, just 2000 and what, 8 through to when we eventually got relegated. Even Pickford during that season we got relegated was fantastic. So Arthur says, "Hello, Paul. What you're on about?" Oh, what's happened there? Paul, is that you or is that me? Is that connection issue you or me?
Arthur is the full stop.
We cannot escape technical issues. That's fucking bizarre. That's so funny. Yeah, I'll get back into my point just in case it is your side rather than mine. Robin Roofs for me has obviously, I can't think of a game where he hasn't performed outstandingly. He's made double saves, he's saved a penalty, he's commanded the box in every single through like cross that's come in from a corner or a free kick, even most from open play. There's a reason. He's currently at the top of the clean sheet charts, and it's because he's absolutely just outstanding. I think he's one of our best signings, probably second behind Granit Xhaka. Do you have a little bit of a statement on there, Paul, mate?
No, not really, but I'm actually happy the way Robin Roos has been like.
So, who were the two goal scorers? Enzo Lefebvre and Wilson Isidor against Brentford? Correct?
Correct.
Correct, cool. And then we played Crystal Palace directly after that, right? It was a nil-nil draw.
Yes, which I actually watched at Lee's house.
Yeah, which again we watched on the Sun, the Mac, and for the Mac and watch along on this channel. I'd say it's a very, it was a very, I wouldn't say it's a very frustrating performance. I think it's probably one of those ones where it was on a knife edge throughout, so it was one of those nail biters, those what's it called, rabbit's nose, squeaky bum time for a long of it. I can't really think of any player in a Sunderland shirt on that day that put a foot wrong. Sorry, I've got to correct that. I've got to put an asterisk to that, and that might cause a little bit of a issue with some of the commenters. But was it Ronaldo, Mandava? He kicked out at the player. And caused us to play that game for a long period of time with 10 men. Is that the same game? Am I mixing it up?
Yeah, you're mixing it up.
Which
We
game was that
didn't
then?
go to. That was the last game.
That was a Forest game. No, Forest game was the last game and we won that 1-0.
We went down to 10 men at home. It was a home
To
game.
Two.
That would have been.
Crystal Palace, right?
No, that was Aston Villa.
Villa. My God, what is happening with myself? I'm usually a lot more coordinated with this factoid. Should I just get the scores up so I sound a little bit less stupid? Hey, let me move this on here, and I'll just roll up SAFC.com. Because what I really wanted to talk about going into this, I was just trying to catch up from my solo watch along, was the Nottingham Forest game plus the Manchester United game coming up ahead. But I thought I'd be try to be a little bit too clever and go back into what I've already discussed. But wow, sleep and alcohol does not help. Here we go. Results. So, Aston Villa 1-1. Crystal Palace 0-0, and the game before, Brentford a 2-1 win. So 5 points from a possible nine, undefeated in that spell. Yeah. Okay. We'll talk about the Crystal Palace game overall then. Crystal Palace on, I think, their current best ever unbeaten streak in the record books ever, ever, ever. Is that right?
Yeah.
And we are one of those teams to pick up a point against them in that period as well. So for me, I think that looks and is on paper probably a fantastic result. We could have obviously broke their duck in making that just 17 games, but let's say in the balance of things, we looked decent to potentially go and take out or snatch a win from that game as well. What do you reckon?
To be honest, against Palace, I was actually happy with the performance.
Yeah. Again, nobody
Yeah.
really stepped a foot wrong, right?
No.
Just off the back of an international break, 12, 14 game, 14 days between the two games between Brentford and Palace. So there's that to take into account. We've got a lot of time to prepare. But again, I think in that in this current era, a point at Selhurst Park against a what I class as probably one of the best all time ever Crystal Palace squads, especially with the likes of Gaye at the back. I'm really rating that picking up a point in that one. I don't really want to what's it called, dig into too much of us going Sun under class, Sun under class, Sun under class, because although we are, like I don't want to jinx ourselves in that comment. So I'm going to just like with the Crystal Palace game, just boil it down to Reggie Labrie and the squad gelling into a point where we are cohesive enough to how do I put this? Not mess up week in, week out. We're not as vulnerable as we were at the back. The Brentford game where we slipped up and let them get into it a little bit sooner, but the fight back from that with Crystal Palace. I think if Crystal Palace took the lead, they were never going to lose it. What do you reckon, mate?
Yeah, it's the same. And just think though, it was actually a late save to actually get us the point against Palace as well.
So you're saying Robin Roof's come in handy again?
Yeah, he did.
Mate, I don't know. Can you put a foot wrong with him? Was it Crystal Palace, West Ham, and I think that's it, isn't it, so far? Two clean sheets.
Yeah, two clean sheets.
I think
Fair enough, he done. Fair enough, he done a mistake against Aston Villa, but he got it correct against Nottingham Forest.
Oh no, that's three clean sheets then. Sorry. This is only going up to September. So yeah, three clean sheets in six games for any Premier League keeper. That's really good return, right?
Yeah, it is, especially at his age, 22 years old as well.
I thought you were going to say he was like 45.
No.
No, he's coming to, he's fresh out of the box, isn't he? Here's a question before I go into the Villa game and the Ryan Nildo kick out. Do you think we've got it right in the replacement of Patterson with Robin Roofs?
Yes. Yeah,
I
we've
think
got it
that
correct.
I think that's the approach most of the fan base will be having, but obviously there is a couple, like maybe like say 5-10% of people who are still thinking we should be rewarding local lads. But I think results speak for themselves in this regard. Until I see a poor performance from Robin Roofs, I will back everything that Reggie Labrie is doing. Just again, do you agree with that? Like, I don't want to like constantly just ask for validation and feedback on it, but like, I think with Robin Roofs, I think the option of his replacement, his number one replacement, is Patterson. And I think there's just a level there, isn't there? You can see a clear level gap of not professionalism, because they're both professionals, but I think it's leadership and direction. Like, I think Robin Roofs is more confident in coming out and collecting the ball. He's made like three triple double saves already this season. Yeah, what do you re what do you what do you th what do you think, mate? What do you think?
But I'm actually happy the way Roofs has actually started the season. You
Yeah.
know, I think the only time we'll see Patterson probably is in the FA Cup.
He was in that Huddersfield game, wasn't he? He was in the back of the net for that Huddersfield 1-1 game. So
Yeah, he was.
yeah, he's kind of tied down to the FA Cup now, which means unless Roofs get injured in like training or warm up, I think that's pretty much written on. But yeah, that's the. I think we've gone a little bit too hyper focused on one player or one position here. So let's move on to the Aston Villa
If you
game.
think, though,
Go on, go on.
Simon Moore is Rochester's Premier League goalkeeper, and so is Blondie as well.
Oh yeah, and Simon Moore we bought from Manchester United. So there's a nice segue into our future part of this podcast, of our upcoming opponents this weekend. Apparently, if the game goes ahead, because of weather, but yeah, Blondie, I'm not too sure will ever play a first team game in the Premier League for us. He's on the younger side, but I think he's slightly older, or just like a couple of months younger than Robin Roofs.
I think he's a couple of months younger, but we got Simon Murray from Coventry.
That's where we got him from, but he used to be a Manchester United goalkeeper, right?
I don't know, actually.
I'm pretty sure Simon Mill was a Manchester United goalkeeper. But yeah, irrespective, it's basically Robin Roof's number one by like, let's say 70%. Then the rest of the 30%, you've got about 20 of it to Patterson, 9% to Moore, and then 1% all the way down to Mendy. So for me, I think Mendy, in terms of his career, unless there's a lot of like luck going his way, might potentially need to leave out on loan, go to the academy squad, or basically massively step up in the in like the academy to prove his position. But did you find that answer, Paul?
I've just searched up actually. Moore didn't play for Manchester United.
Was he on their records or on their books?
Nope.
So was that Mendy then? Because I know we got a keeper from Manchester United. It could have been Mendy. Blondie, not Mendy. Jesus Christ. I'm all over the place tonight.
I'm just looking at
Right.
Blondie's Wikipedia.
We definitely got a goalkeeper from Manchester United. 100%.
No, it wasn't Blondie.
I'll do a little bit
So,
of digging on my mobile phone here, but
got Blondie from Stoke.
Simon Muir. If I can spell his name correctly. So Simon Moore, English goalkeeper. No, never been to Manchester United. Who am I thinking of then? There was definitely a Manchester United goalkeeper in our roster. Was it, who did we have last season? Before we go into the Aston Villa game.
Keepers last season was Patterson, Moore, and
Blondie.
Blondie.
We definitely had a Manchester United keeper. Do you know what? I'll just hold it up to being really, really tired and minorly inebriated at 2 a.m. on a Friday night, Saturday morning. Moving on. Aston Villa game, right? This is the two sentence, three sentence synopsis. First half, dead game. No, nothing really happens other than Reinildo kicking out at a foul, which should have been given as a yellow card, by the way. He does a Beckham style kick out. He gets fouled and then kicks back at the player that fouled him in that instant. And it's definitely a red card. There's no two ways about it. But it should also be a yellow card for the Aston Villa man, which was never given. But he does absolutely kick him in the balls. And to be fair, if I was a player, I think that's just desserts for the amount of shithousery that Aston Villa were trying to impose upon us at that stage. So yeah, first half ends nil nil. With Sunderland down to 10 men, we've got to play around an hour of the game with 10 men. Aston Villa do eventually score their first goal of the season against us in open play. It's a bit sloppy defending from Sunderland, but it was a solid goal. You can't say it wasn't against the run of play. Aston Villa were on the ascendancy, but when Aston Villa then decided to drop back a bit, Sunderland pressure, even with 10 men, was heavy, it was persistent, and we got what we deserved from this game. We got a goal back in it. We got a point from the game. So even with 10 men being a goal behind, and looking against all of the odds, Sunderland still fight back and get something from it. So for me, although the end result wasn't obviously 3 points and the perfect result, it just flew to the point of, this is how we're going to perform most games this season. We might not win them all. We might lose a couple here and there as well, but at least we've got the fight. Is that the vibe you got, Paul?
Yeah, it's the same here, mate. To be honest with you, I would have actually took that point before kick-off as well against Aston Villa.
Okay. I'm not too sure about the, like, accepting a point. Obviously, before going into that game, we won the first opening two games at the Stadium of Light. We are making it a mini fortress. And Aston Villa were in the bottom three at the time, obviously without a goal as well. So, I mean, a point against any Premier League team is something that you should be looking at as a acceptable okay. Any yeah. Premier League team, well, with the exception of one this season, being Wolves. But beyond that, I think when you go down to 10 men, a point is fine. A point for me is okay. It's not the end of the world. Welcome along, French Connection. He's asked, where is Rosie these days? So Rosie typically only comes into the stream when Sunderland are playing away, because I think she works as a steward during the home games, so she gets to go to all of the home games. So also, this stream is kind of on a untypical time of four when we normally push out content, so that's where that could be. French, appreciate the question. What was I saying before I read out French Connection's question, Paul? Keep me back on track.
I think it was on Aston Villa, I think.
Yeah, it was on the Aston Villa game, but it's the point around the Aston Villa game. You said you were happy with a point going into it. Why?
Probably, like, I don't know, but, like, probably that, I don't know, really, probably, you know, because, well, at the minute, well, since they got the point of us now, that they actually start to win games.
Yeah, so you think, am I right in, like, kind of not using your words, like, to build on your thoughts or anything like that, but I'll put words in your mouth, but are you saying because they had obviously had a very poor start to the season, they used us as the potential stepping stone to revamp what their approach was for the upcoming 5-6 games?
Yeah.
Bong says, if Reinaldo stayed on the pitch, we would have won that game. I think we would have definitely not, we would, I wouldn't say definitely, but we would have been 90% more sure of keeping a clean sheet. The thing is, the one thing I do feel sorry about that whole Aston Villa game, and how much time are we into the stream, by the way? 29 minutes, we're half an hour into the stream, and I still haven't talked about the literal last game, so I'll move it on a little bit quicker. I think my solo stream lasted like 35 minutes, so this tells me how much I need people to just feedback off in the watch alongs, podcast. Sorry, we subbed off Rig and had a new defender, Tudor. I just call him Geezer until I actually hear him say his name. Geezer came on and solidified the backup, so that defensively we were still pretty much solid. Yes, there's one player slightly out of normal position and he's coming in a little bit earlier than prepared, but defensively we were banging on that game. Like, again, we're one of the best defenses in the league at the moment, which is absolutely outstanding and a surprise, but can't say that we would have definitely won. Maybe we would have potentially stopped that cross coming in. Maybe. There's lots of ifs and buts about it, but I kind of feel like with 10 men, the overload from the midfield helped Aston Villa in that attack. So I don't know if Ronaldo would have stopped that if that was just a normal play. Anyways, anyways, I think the ultimate point from that Aston Villa game is, even though they went ahead, from that point, Aston Villa sat back trying to protect the lead, trying to protect the lead, and we peppered them. We looked actually really solid, even with 10 men against them, and obviously got what we definitely deserved in this game, another goal to kick back into it. And even after the Sunderland leveller, we looked good for a second. We looked like we could have done what we did against Bournemouth and get the second. But I think that even though we went down to 10 men, sorry, I'm just going to wrap it up here. I think Aston Villa are counting their lucky stars that they actually walked away with a point against us at the stadium, like, interject here, Paul.
No, Aston Villa's starting to win games now. Because I was actually out watching Rangers last night with a friend of mine, and Aston Villa was playing last night. They actually won 2-0. So now they're up and running.
I've still got it. Like, if they win two games in a row, then I'll maybe like back that they're on the cards. But even in the Premier League, West Ham have won a game. They don't look good overall. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can win one game here and there. Even the last two seasons with the other promoted clubs, they won games here and there. It doesn't mean that they're like fully up and running yet. So as soon as they win two games in a row, I'll agree with that statement, Paul. But yeah,
So it'd be
I
interesting
think.
with West Ham though, because they changed manager, didn't they? So it'd be interesting.
Yeah, and that's a perfect segue. Thank you. So West Ham changed that. They got rid of Potter, but also Nottingham Forest got rid of their manager and brought in Ange Postecoglou, didn't they? See? Clever man, you're thinking about
They did.
So I think Sunderland, Nottingham Forest versus Sunderland. Sunderland end up walking away with a 1-0 win. Goal from Wilson Isidore. Fucking just, honestly, do what you need to celebrate that, because
Actually,
quite frankly, it is fucking amazing.
it wasn't easy at all.
Am I? No, I'm
It
pretty sure he scored his
was
third goal in that game.
wasn't easy at all. It was all directly.
No, direct from the header.
It
Yeah, I'm stupid. Isidore with
was
the
just
goal against Aston Villa. Sorry. Jesus Christ, you can tell it's stupid o'clock. Sorry. Sorry. Again, to be fair, it might bait a couple of people to go, well, actually, so I'm all right being mistaken a couple of times. Yeah, Alderete's header. I don't know where the claims for him to be offside were trying to come from. He was definitely not offside. He was definitely probably about half a yard online. I think there was one Sunderland player offside who was further towards the corner flag, probably about 2, 3 yards away from Alderete. But solid header, well played. And if I'm being honest, a very poor save attempt from the Nottingham Forest goalkeeper, very championship-esque. And that is all it takes to win games sometimes, one moment.
Nothing is locked up. Nottingham Forest played last night, because I was keeping an eye on their score that they actually got beat last night. So I don't think it's
3-2,
looking
wasn't
good
it?
for them. Yeah, it is, and they've got those up the road on Sunday. That's if it goes ahead,
Maybe.
that is.
Yeah, maybe game number 5 is the one where he picks up points, where Ange Postecoglou gets his first
His
victory
first win.
for Forest. Yeah. So I'm on, like, normally when you get a new manager, you get a new manager bounce with it. Now, Before I go too in depth with the actual like results and how that pans out, shall I go through the league table? We're six games into this Premier League season. Yes, there's a lot of football to go. There's what, 38 games in a season. We're six into it, 32 to go. That's off the top of my head, like 14% of the season done. There's still a lot of football. There's still a lot of football ahead, right? We've lost one game against Burnley, fellow promoted team, which is their only win. So, little bit of a it's a damn squib. If we picked up a point against Burnley, we'd be on 12. We'd be guaranteed fourth place. It's fine margins in this league. But here we go. Here's a rundown of. Let's do the top seven. Liverpool on 15 points, Arsenal on 13 points, Crystal Palace, who we picked up a point against in 12, on 12 points in third place, Tottenham Hotspur on 11 points with 7 goal difference, and Sunderland in fifth with a 3 goal difference on 11 points, but also Bournemouth matching us on 11 points with a 1 goal difference. So, our clean defending of only conceding 4 goals in 6 games has been a absolute boost to our chances of survival this season. You've got Manchester City in 7th on 10 points as well. Then we've pretty much got a good comfortable cushion between everybody, Chelsea downwards. So everybody below Man City is on 8 points or less. And then the bottom five, should we go? Maybe. Oh, if I do bottom five, I miss out one very funny team. Do you know what? I'll do bottom seven because we play 14th place Manchester United, who are on 7 points. Minus 4 goal difference. Defensively, Manchester United are horrid this season. So maybe there's a lot of goals to have at Old Trafford this weekend. So 14th place Manchester United, 15th place on 6 points, Newcastle United. Did you just giggle there, mate? Did you just giggle? Here's where we go. From there, Aston Villa in 16th on also 6 points. Nottingham Forest in 17th on 5 points. Burnley on 4. West Ham on 4 and Wolverhampton Wanderers on 4. So if we were to look at the teams that we've played the current team that's in third. We've played the team that is currently in 19th, 18th, 17th, 16th, and then 13th. So we've played in the current top 10, one team, and in the bottom 10, five teams. But again, I will reiterate. This is very early in the season. Get what I mean? Or am I just speaking waffle?
I know what you mean, mate.
Yeah. So good. I'm glad you do. Right. We have one final thing to discuss before we go into the Manchester United game itself. Now, is there any team from our perspective that you're coming up against in the next three, four games where you're thinking Sunderland have zero chance whatsoever to pick up points? So before the end of Halloween, before the end of October, is there any team that you think Sunderland are screwed, nothing's happening?
Not really, because I've only got three games this month.
Well, we've played. Have we played one of them?
No, because we've got Manchester United on Saturday.
Yeah,
Following
that's it.
Saturday, after national break, we've got Wolves, and then we've got Chelsea.
Yes, that's it. That's right. That's right. Yes, international breaks up 2 weeks of it again. Yeah, sorry, forgot about that. So yes, we've got Manchester United in 21 hours' time. I can see Sunderland picking something up from this before the start of the season. Absolutely not. But seeing how both of these teams have performed over the opening six games, there's something there for us, right? There's something for us to cling on to.
Yep.
So a point would be good, 3 points would be fantastic, but again, going into the season, we wouldn't really expect anything. So, like, just as long as we don't go in a disaster class against Man U, I think whatever the result is, I'll be quite content with it or ecstatic. It's that polar end. Wolverhampton Wanderers going into the season, I think, especially now, that's one of the games where we should be winning, right? It's at the stadium,
yeah.
Wolverhampton Wanderers in a bit of a drought.
Yeah, we should be winning that.
And then, away from home, 25th of October, Chelsea. So, fun fact, my stepdad is a Chelsea fan, so there's a little bit of a rivalry there. But I kind of respect what they're doing. I also actually hate it as well. So they've got like a 90-player club model, a club group model that they send players around, the selling of the women's team to themselves to help with financial fair play. There's a lot of like weird tactics around it. But if you look at it, or you strip it back to their current core 22 players, including fluctuating injuries and what have you, they're a good team. There's a reason they've won the Club World Cup in the summer. They found the players that eventually work well as a team. So going into the season, obviously Sunderland come up from playoffs. They won the Club World Cup. I was thinking zero, nothing's happening from this at all. What about yourself, Paul?
It's the same here, really, to be honest.
Yeah. What's Chelsea's last results? Obviously, they've got two games between now and then. I know they're 2-2-2, two wins, two draws, two losses. But what are their two most recent results? 3-1 loss to Brighton. And what was the other one before that?
Manu. Champions
Manu.
League. Manu. Manu.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. So they've won two, drew two, and then in the last most recent two Premier League games, lost two. Oh, it's not a team that you really want to like throw ultra confidence in. This is exactly what's going to happen going into it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of time break between now and then. So we'll talk about that in future podcasts. But let's go back to it. Manchester United, Sunderland versus Manchester United, coming up in less than a day's time. What's your pre-match prediction?
Two Sunderland, of course.
Well, you never know, because obviously they're at home, so yeah, okay. So who's scoring the goals? Let's go from a Man U perspective and a Sunderland perspective. Who do you think is scoring the Sunderland goals first? And that gives you a little bit of time to think about who's potentially scoring for Manchester United.
For us, I'm going to say Wilson Isidore, because I think he'll start. And I'm actually going to say Granit Xhaka. Probably for them.
Nice.
Unfortunately, I think if he plays, Diallo.
See, I can see him putting in the worst performance of his life, just because of how much he loves our club. But to be fair, if he does score, he's going to be extremely respectful of it, isn't he? Like, I don't think any Sunderland player or Sunderland fan will be upset if Amad Diallo scores in the Premier League. He's obviously, he only came out for us for on loan, but I wish him the best for his entire career. But when he plays against us, that's the one 90-minute spell where if he falters, I'll be laughing. But yes, I can't see Diallo playing a full 90, to be fair. So
I think,
for me,
I think if Diallo scores, I don't think he'd celebrate.
You know, it'd be like ultra respect, wouldn't it? So for me, I think it's going to be a very simple scoreline. It's going to go one of two extreme ways. It's going to be a dull 0-0 draw, which again I would accept at a heartbeat going into the game. Sunderland games at the moment are very low scoring, and it does make for dull reporting, but not necessarily at the moment for dull football. So I want to say Sunderland 1-0 win. And I'm going to potentially, because of how we're playing, I'm going to say from a set piece, so a goal scorer could come from anywhere. So why not, of all people, Dan Ballard from a corner or a free kick coming into the far post, and he just absolutely making Maguire look like an absolute pleb. So you've heard of the first. You put your bet on it. Ballard to be get more points in the FPL than Harry Maguire. So yes, I think a 1-0 win's the most realistic. Alternatively to that, it could be the game where Sunderland absolutely go into a goal fest mode. There's a lot of, I think, respect from Sunderland and like the Sunderland fan base of Manchester United's history. I don't think we've had a traditionally great time at Old Trafford, so I think this is the era. This is the era of Manchester United where we potentially, what do you call it, dig that knife in a little bit deeper, make that wound gape a little bit more. We need to punish a dog when it's down. In that regard, like, it's Manchester United at the moment, where are they at? 15th, did I say? You've just got off the thing, so let me just double check where they are. Manchester United are 14th. They've actually won two games. 7 points, point ahead Newcastle. Like, they need to beat us, and they'll still be behind us. So, yeah. I can't really see Manchester United looking at us and going, this is an easy win. Right? Is that the perception you're getting?
Yeah, it's the same here, but the thing is, though, that this could be a good opportunity for us, actually, well, especially with their manager under pressure as well.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Was it like 29 points in 32 games or something? It's pathetic from a Manchester United perspective. It's actually relegation form as well.
Yep.
So, Almiron... I genuinely can't see Almiron surviving the entire season. If he gets to Christmas, I'll be massively surprised. It'll just take what? Could you imagine Sunderland thumping Manchester United this weekend and Almiron keeping his job? It's that on a knife edge to me. Let's see it. I'm not trying to jinx it or anything like that, but like, let's say Sunderland beat Manchester United 3 or 4-0. Can you see Almiron keeping his job?
No.
How does he keep his job after that? Now, I know, like, if you're watching this, like, back, like, I'm wearing red and white stripes. I'm clearly a Sunderland fan. But for me, Almiron is just not the ticket for Manchester United's recovery. I kind of feel like they've been a bit gung-ho with their manager choices, and they've all of a sudden decided to stick it with the man who has very little chance or hope to build that history back. What has he done to prove he's capable of doing that? Even if, let's say, the opposite way around, he does actually beat Sunderland, does that restore a lot of confidence in the Manchester United fans? I can't see it doing that. They expect it, right?
Yeah, and I don't think that would bring confidence into their fans. I think their fans will want him out anyway.
I don't say I wouldn't say it's like 100% of their fan base. A lot of their fans are a little bit more patient now, especially post the Fergie, Moyes, Mourinho, just their slew of conveyor belt of managers over the last like 7 8 years. Basically, since we've exited the Premier League, they've gone on a slow hill or down towards the bottom half of the table. I think Almiron's not their success. I think anything top 10 is a fantastic end result for their season so far. And do you know what? This season, as long as they, I don't know. I think they'll have an okay season overall. They will pick up wins and results here and there, but they're not going to be as confident or clear cut as they were before. Yeah. The only thing I'll say or add on about Manchester United's current trajectory is Amad Diallo is the only player I like from their current squad. And that's obviously a heavy bias from a Sunderland fan here. I can't see their current squad challenging for Europe. It's just not there.
Said for says I've just seen Manchester United's next two games after us. They've got Liverpool and then they've got Brighton.
Yeah, so I can see them picking something up against Brighton. But again, I'll mention it. Like, I couldn't see them picking anything up against Chelsea, but they somehow managed to win that game.
Yes, somehow.
Yeah, it's a somehow. Like, they don't seem as consistent as they were in the past in performing week in, week out. And so I don't know if you're aware of this guy, but there's a bloke who's created a like little social media campaign from himself. He says, "I'm not getting a haircut until Manchester United win five games in a row." Have you
God.
seen that? Have you seen that guy or not?
No, I haven't.
He started the campaign in April last season. The highest he got was to three games. He now has an afro.
Oh, God.
I'll send you a picture offline, mate, of this guy, like when he started the thing versus where he is now. But that kind of tells you exactly where Manchester United are at. I think what they need to do, and they've obviously got money, they've got investment in it as well. And this is obviously an outsider coming in from like just superficial, arbitrary levels. But until they get a manager that has the caliber and they're willing to stick with comes in, they're going to have these seasons week in, week out. Now, who is that manager? I'm going to throw a name in the hat and I hope it doesn't fucking happen. But Reggie Labrie would be the ideal
Please
manager for
no.
Manchester
Please
United.
no. Please
No.
no.
No. Like, trust me, it's not going to happen. Almiron's going to stick around for, I think, until at least Christmas, and then he'll get sacked. But when Fergie came in, he was relatively like, "Oh, who's this guy?" When Arsene Wenger came in, it's like, "Oh, who's this guy? He's got a bit of good rapport in the French leagues or what have you." Some of and same with Jose Mourinho when he came into Porto, it was like, who's this guy? So I think there's that who's this guy mentality around Reggie Labrie. If Reggie Labrie was to leave Sunderland for whatever reason and was on the open market, I can see Manchester United going in for him. Could you see that? Could you see Reggie Labrie being the manager of Manchester United in the future? Because that's a bit of
I
a
like the
wild
way you
card,
said
but
that. I like the way you
yeah.
said that in the future. I'm like not the minute
Well,
he's staying where he is.
yeah, today, go fuck yourselves. But like, I can see, I can actually see them being much more successful with a manager like Reggie Labrie, somebody who's able to adapt his style of gaming week in, week out, have a dedicated player base that he understands and can coach into future prospects. They need somebody who's not just a stubborn prima donna who can't like gel his team together to just fucking play 90 minutes. Like, there's so many things wrong with Manchester United at the minute that, knowing my luck and how I'm phasing this, will absolutely smash us silly. But anyways, I think that's enough comment on Man U. So between this podcast and next week's podcast, there is an international break as well in there. So before we go into that, mate, is there anything you'd like to add? Any news that you'd like to shout out? Any channels that you'd like to call out or anything like that?
Not really, but if the game is on tomorrow, they are Manchester United is actually holding a minute's silence for what's actually happened in Manchester.
What's happened in Manchester? Sorry. I'm obviously in Australia. What's happened in Manchester?
There was actually a shooting in Manchester.
Wait, what?
When? Yeah, there was actually a terrorist attack in Manchester. So Manchester United spoke to the Premier League. And I'm just reading it now. Manchester United will hold a minute's silence and wear a black armbands in both the women's team versus Chelsea tonight and against Sunderland on Saturday.
Are you serious? No, no, not about the black armbands, but like the terrorist attack that's happened again.
Yeah, again.
Jesus fucking Christ. That's horrible. What's wrong with it? Oh my God. Yeah, absolutely on board with like the armbands, the minute silence, all of that. Like, what the fuck is wrong with people, man? It's disgusting.
Yeah, it is.
Right. That makes my little mini segue into what I want to talk about now a little bit crass. So, I don't know if you know or not. However, I've created a website.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it.
Do you know which website I've created?
Yeah, you put in the WhatsApp group.
So, here we go, people. Here's my website. It is FTMfuckthemags.com. I wanted to create a nice little place where we could just have a nice bit of banter against Newcastle. So this is the absolute worst segue, by the way, from the Manchester United thing, but we've got just posts, results. I want to make this a place where we can just have a nice little jab and make fun of the world of football in our rivalry with Newcastle. That's all it's about. That's all it's ever going to be about. So as long as we're good-hearted with it and well-intended, the website fuckthemags.com will be run by myself. I'm looking for ideas for keeping the content fresh and live. So here to hear feedback on it. I know it's a little cringe, but also it's just intended to be funny. So there you go. Fuckthemags.com is live. You can share it with your friends whenever you want. It's going to be live for at least the next 3 years from October 1st. So, yeah, fuckthemags.com. You can have that tattooed on your chest.
Uh,
is. Right. Have you checked out the website yet, mate?
Not yet, but I will do.
Oh, go for it. Go for it. If you've got any recommendations, let me know.
Yeah, I will do, mate.
Beyond that, are you joining me for the watch along later on?
I'm actually going out to watch it with Lee and Michael Bowers.
Ooh, which pub are you going to? And drinking the Pepsis, of course.
I'm not sure yet. But we're going out to watch the game, so I'll be able to get Michael's thoughts.
I have a question on that as well. Is Riley still a thing in Sunderland? I haven't been to Sunderland for a while, or I haven't been to that, like, around Mowbray for a while. Is Riley's a thing?
I don't know if it's still there.
You know what I'm talking about, like the pool ground under, like the pool club underground next opposite Mowbray Park. So still there. I could, to be fair, I could just Google it, couldn't I? If you're not aware. Okay. Final thing. We've already done it. Bloody match day predictions. I've said 1-0. So I've said 1-0 Sunderland. You've said 2-1 Sunderland, which is again 3 points on the cards. I'll ask you one final question then, because obviously I want a nice little bow on top of this. This cherry, the Mags game. What do you reckon the score's going to be against? Obviously, you've got the Bournemouth Fulham game ahead of us, but on Sunday you've got the Mags playing Nottingham Forest, who we've just beat 1-0. What do you reckon the Mags will score?
That one's interesting because Nottingham Forest has got 3 ex Newcastle players.
Yeah, for Chris Wood, prick.
Because they've got Chris Wood.
Yeah, prick.
Nottingham Forest's goalkeeper used to play for Newcastle.
Okay.
And they've got, I think it's a midfielder. He actually played against us.
Hmm.
I'm trying to think who it is. But...
it's clearly very important.
Yeah, I think he was at Newcastle for a while.
Can you tell me what he looks like? Because
so find out what his name is.
The only one I know is Chris Wood because we played against him last week and he was an absolute. Harrow put it, he had typical Mag behaviour written all over him, trying to bully people, and when he got actually counter-checked, he cried like a little bitch.
The third player is Elliot Anderson.
Ah, okay. I thought his career died like 3 years ago, so... fair enough. I mean, Anderson's, I'd say, probably a solid 6 out of 10 Premier League player. So it makes sense. I'm not going to say he's shit because he's not, but like he's there's definitely, like, in his position, a shit ton of, like, a lot better players in the Premier League than him. I'd say he's probably maybe 14th. In that position, so yeah, all right, but we'll see. I can't see Nottingham Forest fucking up too much against the Mags, especially considering their recent run of results. I think Ange Postecoglou needs something from this, so I think it's going to be a solid defensive park the bus style performance, even at home for Forest. I'm going to say a Forest 1-0 counter attacking win. Counter-attacking goal to get the win, which is a weird mentality to have at home. But yeah, I can see that happening. So 1-0 Forest, with potentially Hudson-Odoi getting the goal.
I'm going to go 2-0 Nottingham Forest. Chris Wood both. It'll send
Karma.
them crying.
That would be absolute karma. Right. I'm happy with this podcast, mate. I'm going to head to bed now. It's nearly 3 o'clock in the morning here, so I am slowly dying. If you've got anything to add, feel free to do so, or forever hold your peace. In between now and then, we'll see if the Sunderland game does go ahead with the storm that's brewing over the UK. Again, I'm obviously just learning about it, so I've got to do a little bit of digging into what's happened at Manchester for the armbands to be used, and what have you. Well, lads, bang, bong, welcome back. So yeah, I'll have a quick little read up on what's happened at Manchester with the armband things, just so I can actually have a more educated ex commentary on it, I guess, if required. Yeah, and other than that, Sunderland are in fifth, the lowest we can fall at the end of this weekend, just so you're aware, if all games do go ahead, is as low as 12th. Goal difference has to be a massive swing as well. But we could climb to second place in the Premier League if all Crystal Palace, Arsenal, and Spurs drop points. That's on the cards for Sunderland tonight. How cool is that? Right.
Well, I'll be keeping an eye on them results now. Thanks, Hans.
That's perfect, mate. As Bong says, ta-ra, see you later. Have a good one, lads. Fuckthemags.com.